Well, good morning, Green Valley. Hope you've had a great morning so far. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're in this series entitled How To. We're answering several questions about how to. And today, I want us to look at the question, how to break out of a rut. How to break out of a rut. And a rut is simply a habit or a pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive, but it's hard to change. And so think about it. Do you have any patterns of behavior or that have become dull or unproductive, but you think, man, it's just so hard to change? And so how are you going to break out of the rut? How are you going to get unstuck, as some would say it? You know, I was watching TV the other day, and I think our lives are a lot like this sometimes, and Joellen walks in, and I'm watching this show that I guess I normally don't watch, and she said, "I didn't know you liked that show." And I said, "I don't. I just can't find the TV controls." I mean, what a testimony of laziness, right? It's like, it never crossed my mind to get up and actually go change the channels on the television. So we just watch it. And that's kind of the way, you know, life is sometimes. Like, yeah, I really don't like where I'm at, but I'm really just not going to the trouble to get up and do anything about it right now. I mean, if we're just dead honest. And so the challenge today as we think about this and we look in Scripture is don't settle. If there's some area of life, maybe in a relationship, in your marriage, in your parenting, your work life, how you handle your time, your money, all the different things that make up life, one of the challenges is just don't settle. Make the decision, I'm not going to settle for this habit, for this routine, for this behavior that's so dull and unproductive. I'm not going just to stay here. Also, is just make the decisions that you're not going to run with your rut buddies. You know, so if you're in a rut, you know what that means? You got buddies in a rut. Because the reality is sometimes when we are going through life and we see some area that needs to change, what do? We look around and go, well, his marriage is about like mine. And he schedules his life about like I schedule mine, and they probably spend their money like I do, and they raise their kids like we do, and they're involved in the same things we do, and they're about as involved in church as I am. And so you know what those are, and don't tell them they're this, but those are your rut buddies. You just got friends that are in the same ruts that you're in. So don't settle. Don't look at your rut buddies. Today, the challenge is this, is to accept responsibility. If you find yourself in some pattern of behavior that's dull and unproductive, you just simply say, hey, it starts with me. I say that because here's one of the temptations. The temptation today will be just to change scenery. Sometimes when we run into ruts and there's some area of life that I don't like this and it's kind of dull and it is unproductive, you know what we do? Instead of accepting responsibility for doing something about it, what we do is we just change jobs, we change hobbies, we change friends, we change churches. And what happens, you're in a new scenery and there's new energy, and then before you know it, guess what? The old habits come back, and then you're right back in what? A rut. Stuck. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go on a journey of learning how to exchange what is for what could be. Exchanging what is, and you just fill in the blank. Maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in your job, maybe it's in your relationship, maybe it's in an addiction, maybe it's in your physical, the way you're taking care of your body, maybe it's in your parenting and your attitude and your serving and your money spiritually. Somewhere they're just going, listen, I need to exchange what is because I'm in a rut for what could be. And Joshua chapter 1 is going to tell us. But before we get there, I want us to rewind just a little bit, because in Joshua chapter 1, what happens is God's people are standing on the edge of what God has for them. He went to a group of people called the Israelites, says, I'm your God, you're my people, I've got a place for you called Canaan, I'm about to take you there. And so they go there. And here's where they are in Joshua chapter 1, they're there. But I want you to rewind 40 years. Because if you rewind 40 years to Numbers chapter 13, you know where they are? In the same spot. They're right there on the edge of what is called the promised land. This is what God says, I'm going to give you. You're my people. I'm your God. I've got something for you. There it is. Numbers 13, it says this. As they were on the edge of what could be. And God says, send some people out there to check it out, because I want you to know what I'm about to give you. And so they send 12 people over into the land of Canaan in Numbers 13. And they look around, they check it out. You remember they brought back some of the fruit? And they come back and they begin to report to Moses. Moses, two of them said, let's go get it. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. Let's go do it. It's a great land. Let's go take it. Let's go do what God's called us to do. 10 of them said, It's too tough. Matter of fact, there's some people that live there. And for us to live there, they got to go, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. That's a quote. You know what they did? They began to complain and say, God, I don't even know why you brought us here. I can't believe you put us in this position, God. They began to complain against God. Let me ask you this. Does anybody remember the name of any of those other 10? You never remember the names of Rut buddies. But Joshua and Caleb, thousands of years later, we still talk about them. But God says, listen, okay, you want to complain about being on the edge of what I want you to do? I'm going to let an entire generation die before I let you go in there. So now 40 years has passed. An entire generation has died. In Joshua chapter 1, they stand in the same spot again. They have not arrived yet, but they're on the edge of their next step. What do you do when you're on the edge of the next step? What are you going to do when you're on the edge of breaking out of that habit or that pattern of behavior that's so dull and unproductive? What are you going to do? Joshua chapter 1 tells us. If you've got your Bibles, look there. If not, just check out the screen and you can follow along. Joshua chapter 1, we pick up verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, so Moses is dead. Now, Joshua, you're in charge. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. In other words, this is the same thing I told you guys 40 years ago. And then it says this. It says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You want to move out of your rut? First thing that's got to happen is you got to see it, whatever the area is, as it could be. Isn't it interesting that God paints a picture for him? He could have just said, get your stuff ready, you're about to cross over. He begins to paint the picture for him. He does it for you. You know what he wants your marriage to be like? He says, I want your relationship with your husband and your wife to be like Jesus loved the church. You know how I want you to manage your time? I want you to look at your life like you're a vapor that's here for a while and gone the next day. In other words, I want you to realize your time is limited, so you need to limit what you put in your time. He's always painting the picture. He says, when it comes to your money, I want you to be rich in good deeds. And so here he is with his people, and what happens is he begins to paint the picture of what could be. Here's what I want you to know. God has a better vision for your life than you have for yourself. If I asked you to write your vision for your life down right now, could you do it? Regardless whether you could write it down or not, God has a bigger vision for your life than you have for yourself. Amen? Isn't that good? Because some of you think God's out to get you. I mean, whatever your dream is for your marriage, he's going, yeah. Whatever your dream is for your parenting and how you manage your time and your money and the impact, your purpose, he said, I've got something bigger than that. If you rewind 40 years, those that came back, they went into the promised land, they came back and they were telling Moses, you remember what they said? It's just like God said so. It's like a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's good. It's better than we could ever imagine. And so let me just ask you, do you have a picture of what could be in your life? Do you have a vision of what it could be? I mean, it's interesting in Joshua chapter 3, as you fast forward just a little bit, in verse 5, it says this. It says, Joshua, this is where they're about to cross in. And it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what? Amazing things among you. In other words, you can't even imagine what he wants to do in your life. But if you're ever going to get out of your rut, you at least got to get a snapshot of it. Why? We talk about it all the time here. Whatever you think, out of the way you think, you make decisions, and out of those decisions, you end up in destinations. What are you thinking today? What's the mental picture you have for your marriage, for your parenting, for your money, for your time, for your kids, for your service, for your spiritual gifts? What do you have the mental picture you have for that body that God gave you? Wait, let's not talk about that. If you don't have a picture of it, there's a good chance you're not going to make a decision that's going to lead you to a destination of what could be. And so he starts with Joshua. He says, Joshua, let me give you a snapshot about what's about to happen. So if you want to move out of that rut, first thing has to happen is you got to see things as it could be. Second thing is this, is you're going to have courage. If you got your Bibles, look at what he says in verse 6 and following. He says in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. In other words, you guys were here 40 years ago. You talk about a rut. They went out in the desert and roamed around for 40 years. You know that in Exodus chapter 16, it tells us they ate the same thing every day? What? I mean, whatever rut you're in, they're going, amen, I'm here, I'm with you. And so he simply said, he says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. He just said that. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? In other words, in case you didn't get it the first two times. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The foundation of your courage is that fact that God is with you. One of the reasons we don't move from where we are to where we could be is we're just fearful. Amen? Come on. Can we get a witness? I mean, we're comfortable. We don't like where we are, but we're comfortable. Being brave enough to do what you should do is courage, in spite of being afraid. Courage is not going, listen, I'm waiting for all the fear to go away. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's just simply saying, I'm moving on and I'm taking my fear with me. Courage is just simply saying, I realize I'm uncomfortable, but I'm still going to do it. Do you realize that you may get to where God wants you and you're still not comfortable? I'm processing this in my own head. For 30 years, I'm going to tell you about my world. For 30 years, I've been doing exactly what you're looking at. I still don't think I'm comfortable with it. But then I realized the God of Scripture never seemed to be all that interested in anybody's comfort. I've been criticized a lot for saying that, hey, I'm not comfortable doing what I do. I'm certainly at peace doing it. There's a big difference. But I'm certainly not comfortable doing it. But then I don't know that he's that concerned about our comfort. And so he said, you think they were comfortable? And he said, just be courageous. He says, be fearful, but bring your fear with you. Don't wait for everything to get just perfect. Just bring it with you. Because you're going into the unfamiliar. You're going into an area that may not be your comfort zone. Why do we stay the way we are? It's predictable. It's predictable. Why did you sit where you sat this morning? I noticed that some of you are out of place, and I don't know that you've been able to worship today. I'm not going to point at you, but I know I could see your face when I got up here going, I'm over here. I know I'm not sitting where I'm supposed to. And some of you hadn't been able to function. I'm praying for you right now. Right? You said, Jeff, why are you sitting where you are? Some of you sit in bad seats. Why? Because that's where you always sit. Because it's predictable. I know who's going to sit next to me. Right? I'm not saying you need to change seats, but that might change the world. I don't know. But it gets that simple in life that we just do the same thing over and over again, not because of any reason, but it's just predictable, and I'm comfortable doing it. I don't like the show, I just can't find the controls. And so Joshua is listening to his God, and his God simply says over and over again, he didn't say, hey, you better be talented, you better be a great leader, you better lead the way. He says, just be courageous. Just be courageous. Just be courageous. In other words, bring your fear with you. Just keep moving. You got to see it as it could be, and you got to be courageous. Verse 7 and 8, he tells us this. If you got your Bible still open, he says in verse 7, he says, not only do we have to be strong and courageous, he says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then he says this, be careful to obey, not just study, not just look at, not just glorify it, but obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't try to rewrite it. Don't try to just fit it to your situation. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate, that means go over it and over it. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, in other words, after something, then you will be prosperous and successful. He says, you want to break out of a rut? Realize that God's word is the map to where you could be. Because what do we often do when you're thinking about, yeah, man, I know I'm not where I need to be, but I don't know where I should be. If I knew where I needed to be, I'd go do it. He says, God's word is the map for where you should be. You just start doing God's word. You start obeying God's word. And you find yourself on that journey, and then things get real specific. You just start doing it. He says, just obey it. Don't turn from the left to the right. You just think about your marriage. You think about the things that you're stuck in a rut. You go, I don't know where we're headed. I don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know what to do. Just start doing God's word in that thing. You start scheduling your time, realizing your time's limited. You start loving your wife as Jesus loved you. So I don't know how that all works. Just do what you know. He is real kind. We just sing it. I don't know how to manage my money. Just wake up each day and go, I wonder how much he wants me to give away today. You're getting closer. Just keep on doing what he's called you to do, and then things will get very specific. Verse 7, he just tells us over and over, do my word. Listen, understand this. He says, if you do my word, you will be prosperous and successful. The thing that we need to understand, and this seems so weird to say this, but God does not bless sin. I heard a guy that say this week who had made some choices that were contrary to Scripture, and he said, I feel closer to God than ever. God does not bless sin, regardless of how we feel. And so that's where God says, listen, sin is the ultimate rut. It's the ultimate rut. And so we evaluate our life. We evaluate all these things. We go, I'm in a rut in this area. You don't have to look at anybody else. You just begin to hold it up to God's word. Just hold it up to God's word. And he will begin to lead you beyond the lines that you have drawn for your life. So realize that God's word is the map to where you could be. Also notice this, if you want to get to where you could be and exchange what is for what could be, look at verse 10. It says this, that he gives Joshua all these instructions, and he says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. In other words, it's time, if you want to exchange what is for what could be, to take action. It's time to move. Some of you maybe need to have a powwow with the family today and go, we're about to move. Maybe husband and wife get together and go, we're about to move. Take action. It's interesting, if you read over in Joshua chapter 3, just flip over a page. And this is interesting. They're getting ready to move in verse 14 it says, so when the people broke camp, he told them to get ready. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And listen, this is just a box that has the Ten Commandments in it. This is important. What are the Ten Commandments? They're the reminder of what? You're my people. You didn't keep the Ten Commandments to be in with God. He gave them the Ten Commandments because they were already in with him. And so the thing that is telling them this is what life is about and this is how life works, it's also a reminder, you're in with me already. I've got something for you. And so look at this. So the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. You know, that's why he told them three times, you better have courage. See, if I'm in that, let's just be honest. If I'm that day, I'm going, hey, let's just come back another day when it's not flooded. Right? How many of you would say that? You go like, this is not good crossing the Jordan River weather. Because there's always going to be an excuse for not to move from where you are to where you could be. It's not going to be easy. You think God purposely brought them there at flood stage? I don't know, but I'm going to ask him when I get there. Maybe because he's not really worried about their comfort. I don't know. And so he says, the Jordan is at flood stage. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. See, I want the water to part before I get there. It's at flood stage and it doesn't part till what? They get in. The water from upstream stopped flowing. And it piled up in a heap a great distance away. If you have time sometime, you ought to just research in history how far the water backed up. You ever done that? Some scholars say it backed up between 12 and 25 miles. See, I'm thinking a trail. He was thinking an interstate. And it backed up, it heaped up a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arab, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. They show up, it's at flood stage, and they got to put their feet in it. And it stops. Noah, I want you to build a boat 450 feet long. Genesis 6:22 says that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Abraham, I want to take you to a land you've never been to before. Genesis 12 says he left his country and went. As Jesus walked along the line of the sea and he saw people fishing, and he looked at them and he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And it said they got up and left everything and followed Jesus. At some point, you have to take action. At some point, you're going to need to call the counselor. You're going to need to pour out the alcohol. You're going to need to put a filter on your computer. You're going to need to attend the meeting. You're going to need to call the doctor about your health. You're going to need to stop dating that person. You're going to need to cut off that friendship. If you're ever going to get from where you are to where you could be. I was watching a video this week of a lady named Margaret Feinberg. I don't know Margaret Feinberg. She was leading a leadership conference I was watching online. And she said this. She says, sometimes we lose our ability to wonder and to dream. In other words, we lose our ability to think about what could be, and we just get stuck where we are. And then she read this passage. Isaiah 29, it says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. In other words, they are in what? A rut. And so what does God say? Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. When's the last time you wondered? You dreamed about what could be.